A couple of readings. I want to read in the book of Luke, and I'm conscious that the hour is late, and I'll have to rush on. The last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, and we'll look at the verse 48. And ye are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Numbers chapter 6 and the last few verses. Numbers chapter 6 and the last few verses. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. We'll have a wee word of prayer. Lord, help us at this time both to hear and to receive the word of God, and help us to take thy word away with us. We pray that you'll bless us in our meditation of the word. You'll bless us in our thinking of what God hath done through each and every one of us. For we are all workers together over the last many years. And that you'll visit amongst us this night and bless us. And that you'll call laborers to serve thee from this great congregation. And we will give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Greer asked me to say a few words about Kenya and the work in Kenya that Joanne is going initially to help in. Joanne said in the background, come and sing for us. Well, after hearing me preaching, she'll say, maybe you should have sung. Might have been better. But however, anything we say tonight, I'm not saying it as something that I personally did or of any glory, because we're all workers in this. None of the mission works could go ahead if you people didn't pray for them and give to keep the missionaries in the field. Unto the Lord, that is. So we're all in it together. Some of us are maybe more in the forefront of the day-to-day activities. And God is a place for each and every one of us to serve him in. But we are workers together. And each and every one of us will give an account unto him how we served him when we stand before him. In 1980, I remember being at the Easter Convention in the Martyrs Memorial Church. The late Miss Margaret Armstrong, who had served the Lord for many years in Kenya, she was saved as a student at Trinity College in Dublin. And she was a girl that was born in Kenya. We'll not go into her background now, but it's a very interesting background. Her mother was the Honourable Mrs. Armstrong. Her grandfather was Lord Napier, her great-grandfather. But Margaret had come home because her father was ill. She had joined our church in the city of Armagh when she was home on one of her furloughs. And she left. It was a great sacrifice for Margaret to have to do that, for she left the cathedral church where the family belonged to. And she went to the small wooden hut as they had that time on the hill there in Armagh. And she was a member there. But she had eventually to come home because of her father's illness to Southampton to live. And she came over every year to the Easter Convention, and she brought some of the folk at the church that she attended there with her. And I remember in that particular year, 1980, speaking to her after the morning service, and she says, "Look, there's a group of young men, because of ecumenism, have separated themselves because of the trend that they see going on in the African Inland Church." And she said, "I would like to help them and support them and encourage them. And I would like them to come over here." And I said to her at that time, "Well, let's talk to Dr. Paisley at the interval." And we did. As soon as we got opportunity, and he encouraged them to come. And Margaret paid their fare over. And the Reverend George Kendigore, the father of the Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore, and his son, Andrew Kendigore, came over in October 1980. And they visited around many of the churches here. Old George Kendigore is now almost 90 years of age. He was in last week, and he had a brain operation. He's speaking again, and he's making some progress. George Kendigore, in his heyday, was a mighty man of God in Africa, a Kenyan of the Kalenjin tribe. And in the colonial days, every church was given their area that they were to preach in. And the West Pequot area belonged to the Anglican church, but George felt that they weren't doing what they should be doing. And he went into that area and he preached the gospel. And he was arrested and imprisoned. And of course, when he got out again, he carried on. And he started a multitude of churches in that area. I think actually it was him that performed the marriage ceremony to the last president, President Daniel Arap Moi. But George Kendigore was a great man, and God blessed him. They left the work there and the AIC in that area, and they started to build their own small mud houses, churches. And we brought them over that year that we had meetings with them, and they went back. And then in 1981, Margaret Armstrong made a final visit to Kenya over Christmas time. And then she came back home, and she had cancer, and she died in the month of August. I remember being over at her funeral. And I remember the Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore writing to us and saying, "What's going to become of us?" Because all that Margaret had by virtue of her being in that particular family, she had some funds. She had given it to this work in Kenya. And she said, and Nathaniel said, "What's going to become of us? How are we going to survive?" We later on brought the Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore over, and we started a Kenyan Churches Fund, and from that fund we have paid them thousands of pounds. We send them about £1,600 every month to help to keep the pastors paid, etc. Then in 1982, the Presbytery decided to send the Reverend David McElveen and myself out, and we went out and we visited around there, and we must have brought a good report back, for the Lord touched the heart of Margaret Russell. And we know the story of Margaret. She went out on the 7th of the 7th, 1983. And she has been there through good report and ill, through smooth times and difficult times. And the Lord has blessed her, and others have joined her. And now for a period, our sister Joanne will join with her there. Pray for the work there. I remember when she went out, there were less than 50 children at the Sunday school. There's now around 1,500 in the various Sunday schools. It's a massive work spread out all over that area. In 1988, the powers that be in that area, there was one man in particular, and power in that area, and he was a bitter enemy to the work, and he forced the works to close. Remember getting the news, we had visitors in one Sunday night, and this news came through that the churches were closed and the people were arrested. And I remember sitting and weeping at home over this. Well, they were taken to court. They were in prison for some time. They were taken to court and they were fined and they were told not to open the churches again. They were worshipping illegally. Of course, there was one brother, he was well out in the bush and he went out. He says, I'm carrying on. And he carried on and he's still there to this day. I remember the next year I was in hospital and I said to my wife one day when she came up, she said, do you know where I'm going when I get out of this bed, get home? I'm going to Kenya. And I remember going out to try and encourage the folk there at this time when their churches were closed. And we had a tremendous time. I remember they had a communion service and they called all the people together out into the bush where there was no authorities ever went. And we had our communion service there, and I think I'll never forget it till the day I die. It was a time of blessing. We were doing it illegally, according to the authorities. But the people met there, and the Lord met with us. And they walked through the bush, some of them for miles and miles and miles, to get to that service. And you know, when I left, there was one man said, look, a visitor's come and encourage us. Let's open the churches again and forget about the authorities. And that's what they did. And they opened them. We eventually got registration. Then in 1994, there was that very sad time when two of their members were murdered. Reverend Kendigar, where we have the school built, a place called Leche, not far, but 3 miles from where Margaret lives. It was an area where the brood drink, and that's all was in their head. And he went into that area and he started to evangelize. And there was a man told him, wouldn't have been a Christian man, but he said, Mr. Kendigar, you're only wasting your time. You'll never turn the people from that. But you know, he said, we saw people converted. And the main ringleader was a lady called Mary. And she's in the church to this day, and I meet her every time I go out. And she's beaming with the joy of the Lord. And he saw her converted. And they built a church in that area. And then we started to build the school later on. I have a picture of Alistair Hamilton standing among weeds in an area where the main school is today. We raised a great edifice there, and the Lord blessed. But he went into that area, and then he bought a wee bit of ground, and he lived there. But one night, it was during our week of prayer in 1994. I was to ring Margaret about something that she wanted done. And I tried 2 days and couldn't get her. And then eventually got her on the Wednesday. And she says, there's been terrible happenings here. 2 nights ago, they came to the house of the Reverend Kendigar. And they fired bullets in through it. And they killed his nephew, Isaac Bewat. A lovely boy. A boy, it was one of the rare jewels in that work, because he used to go up into the mountains alone and pray. And Isaac got killed at the door. They kicked the door in and they cut, slit his throat. He eventually died through the loss of blood. We airlifted him to Nairobi, but he died. Our church was here at that time, rose to the occasion, sent out many funds to help with them. And Margaret got word. Reverend Kendigar's son ran for her, rang her, and said, come quickly. And she said, where's Ruth at? And didn't know Ruth was in the kitchen, and they had fired in through the mud wall, and Ruth was dead. Ruth was the Reverend Kendigar's sister. A few of us were out to the funeral. I remember saying at the funeral, you know, when you bury your sister, you bury our sister. And when you bury your brother and your son, and your grandson, you bury our brother and our son and our grandson. We're with you. Our hands are stretched across the ocean to help you. And we have stood with them as a denomination from that. But God blessed the work. Eventually Gillian went. The Harris family went. Then Noreen went. to take over the school and to get it established. The Christian school commenced in 1998. The nursery school was opened with about 10 pupils. And then Margaret rang me one day. She says, would there be money for a secondary, for a primary school? Because the parents, now that with this, they don't want to send their children for... Most of the schools in that area, and in many areas of Kenya, are sponsored by the Roman Catholic Church. They have the money. Some of them are owned by them. So if you have the sponsoring of them, you have the older children with you for 3 months at a time boarding. So they're duty-bound then to attend your services. And parents said, we're going to lose our children. They're most precious. They're formative years. And they're not under our control. We need our own school. And I said to Margaret, will it be much? She says, it'll be maybe £15,000. Well, I said, I think we can handle that. It was £17,000. I've learned since that their estimations were always out a wee bit. But however, the Lord sent the money in for us. If she had told me then what we have now, I would have said, Margaret, forget about it. We couldn't do it. Sure, we're only a small church in Ulster. How could we build such a building? But you know, it went on step by step. And today, after 10 or 11 years, I have sent out to them almost, just for the school, almost £800,000. And you say, where did that come from? That came from the child in the pew to the oldest pensioner in the pew, right across Ulster, and in America and Canada. But the bulk of it has come from here. People have given their 50p's, they've given their pounds, they've given their £5, they've given their £20. You have given your £1,000, and so it went on. And no money was ever taken from any other department of the missionary work. It all came in earmarked for the school. And in the will of the Lord, next month, on the 11th of September, we're opening that great school to the glory of the Lord. There's now 530 pupils in the school. And last year, out of about 205 or 210 schools in the area, they took second place in the exam results. That's great. That's tremendous. But listen, the thing is, we're trying to lay a Christian foundation for it. Most of these children probably wouldn't come from a Christian background. And we have a chance to try and influence them for the Lord and for good. Pray for the work. There's 50 people employed in it. Pray for the teachers. Pray for Noreen and for Margaret and for Gillian and for Kathy and Dave DiCanio as they labour there amongst the people, that God will bless and that he will undertake. There's new ground coming up. And I told Margaret, buy it. I know we'll get it paid for. I've no doubts about that. This last month, I never let the account run over. I always said to the missionaries, look, if you can pray the money in, I'll send it out to you. But this last month, I had to overdraw for the want to get the school finished for the official opening. And the former President Moy is coming to take part in the opening. And I had to overdraw. And many a day, this last month or two, I was anxious. Where are we going to get the money? Noreen sent me word last week. She says, George, I need another £5,000. She says, I've read every account we have here, including my own. And I still need more money. Well, I said, Noreen, I don't have any. But give me to Wednesday and let's pray together that the Lord will do something for us. And every day, to collect, for when our school is closed, the post doesn't deliver. And I went in to collect the mail, and there was nothing. One day I went in, and that particular day there was nothing. It was just a brown envelope, a magazine. And I was walking out of the post office, and I was just praying, Lord, you're really trying me. I hope I'm fit for this trial. And I got down to the car, and I pulled it open. Who's sending this here? And you know, it was a note from a solicitor to say that we were mentioned and named as part of a legacy for a very considerable amount of money. And there I thought it was only a magazine. But the Lord is no man's debtor. Pray for us. From last year, January, that's 20 months ago, to support all the works out there, the missionaries, the Kenyan Church's fund that supports the pastors, and all the medical aid that we try to help the poor people with, and food that had to be sent out, especially during the time there when there was that sad time of murder over the elections. We sent a lot of money out to help the displaced people and to help the Bible College and the bookshops and every, and to build other churches. We have sent out the equivalent, I think it is just over £6,000 every week. That's only to Kenya. Now we have Nepal to look after. We have sent a lot to Jamaica. We have Spain to look after. We have India to remember. We have Australia, and then we send money to help the works in the south and to help in America and Canada. But we have sent just over £6,000, and the Lord has sent it in. And I know as Joanne goes, she goes in the will of the Lord, and there'll be a people here that will not forget her. We're sending a young lady tonight. Young men, where are you at? We have sent Margaret. We have sent Gillian. We have sent Noreen. Kathy Walker. Where are the young men? There's two young boys out there at present, and they're a blessing to the people, and I think the people out there is a blessing to them from here. I rang up and Brian says, it's just a place I'm staying. It's better than home, he said. I said, that's good. But they have to cook, I think, generally for themselves. But I said to them before they left, I says, boys, I want to tell you something. For I've seen so many people go out, and there's a lot of people go out to help in Africa. They raise thousands of funds. We chose to employ the men out there and to give them employment in building the school. And it helped many families over 10 years. But there's many people from many denominations go out, and they help, and they do a good work, and they maybe have a week at the seaside on their way home, and they come back, but they generally forget about it. And I said, boys, when you go out there, ask the Lord to give you a burden for the people, and ask the Lord to give you eyes to see the harvest. That's what we want, young people to go out and to see the great need. Not just for an adventure. We're here to serve the Lord. This is our day and generation. And brethren, what will we say when we stand before the Lord? What did we do, Lord, for them? Young men, pray about this. That the Lord might send you and show you his will. We can't all be missionaries. But surely there's young men throughout our whole denomination that God, whose God's hand is upon, and that he'll call and bless and send forth. Now, it's 8 o'clock. We're here an hour and a half. I'll skip the most of what I had to say here, but I want to just leave this verse, Joanne, with you. I was thinking of Luke chapter 26 or 24, and it says there that the Lord, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and he led them out as far as Bethany. This was from Jerusalem. They climbed the hill up to Bethany, where he had been on that hill some weeks before, and he wept over Jerusalem, that compassion. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, that we could see the lost like that. But here his disciples after the resurrection, he led them out as far as Bethany. And we read there in verse 50 that he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And as he blessed them and was blessing them, he was taken up out of their sight, and a cloud received him into the glories. And he was gone to heaven. And the disciples were left on their own. And he told them to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And look what it says there. And they worshipped him. They worshipped as we did. The risen, exalted Christ. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, some people think, let's turn to Numbers chapter 6. Some commentators think that actually the blessing that he left with them that day was this blessing here in Numbers chapter 6. Now, whether that be so or not, we have no way of knowing, but it's nice to think that maybe it was so. Where he said unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, because a greater priest than Aaron was there that day. It was the great high priest himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ascending up on high to make intercession for his people, for all generations, until he would come again. He's doing it for us tonight. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. There's no better word or prayer we could wish Joanne as she leaves us to go to Kenya to labor in some of those areas where there's massive slums with thousands of people that need the gospel. And then later on, in the will of the Lord, to go to the land of Liberia, Liberty, formerly known as the Green Coast. What better prayer could we and wish could we leave with her? Joanne, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Interesting to note the context there. It's in this chapter where we have the vow of the Nazarite, whether man or woman, who had set themselves aside to serve the Lord for a period. That's the context of that there. But when we come to these verses, I'll just very briefly leave a few thoughts with you. The first thing I want you to notice is, I would like you to think for a few minutes of how the Lord blesses and keeps his people. You ever think of that when the minister prays at the end, as many do at the service, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And then the people are dismissed and they leave. Do you ever think about that? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. We'll be away for a week from the meeting house. But the Lord bless thee and keep thee. It's well for us all to remember that daily we need the protection and the keeping of the Lord. What do we pray for when we pray for the blessing of the Lord? I was interested to read John Calvin's comment in that. He says, the blessing of God is the goodness of God in action, by which a supply of all good pours down on them from his favour, as from its only fountain. We can know no blessing better or greater than the blessing of God. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Isaiah said, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Do you ever feel, when you rise in the morning, maybe a Monday morning, or you're going to bed on the Sabbath night, that really I'm poor in spirit, and except the Lord bless me, I'm of all people most miserable. I need his blessing. Do you ever feel that poverty of soul and your need for mercy? You know, he's gracious. And when we come feeling that we're poor in spirit, God will bless us. To this man will I look. To this woman will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. May we all feel that in our souls, and feel daily our need of God to bless us. Maybe there's people here tonight, young or older, and you've never been converted. You've never felt that poverty in your soul, that I have no righteousness of myself. I need a greater righteousness, even Christ's. I tell you, Joanne's going to Africa to tell that to them. We need to hear it here as well. If you feel it, and if you cry out for mercy this night, you'll obtain it. And then Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. And often we as the Lord's people have to grieve over our sins. But when we do and we forsake them and he blesses us, we're of all people most blessed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Sometimes we come to the word and we read it and our minds and our work, and we're rushing to something else. But oh, the joy of getting down before the Lord and hearing him speaking through his word. Oh, the joy of coming to his word with a hunger and a thirst. And Joanne, as you go to Kenya and as you go out to spread Christ, may you go with a hunger in your soul that has been satisfied by the studying of the word of God. Because it's the entrance of God's word that bringeth light. And it's God's word that when it comes into an area, that brings a blessing when people receive it. And when people are converted, the ways are changed. Mary was changed in Lache. She was changed forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. You know, there's such a thing as the blessing of disappointment. You're wondering, how could that be? There is. There's such a thing as the blessing of disappointment. Where God, we can send something into our lives and we're so disappointed by it. But really it turns out to be a blessing to us. You think of Jacob. I have a few down here, but I'll just take Jacob. Jacob, he was coming home. Remember how he wronged his brother. But he was coming home 20 years later, and God had really blessed him. God had told him, return to your land and to your kindred, and he would bless him there. And on his way, his men were going on before, and they come back and they told him, Esau's coming. And he has 400 men with him. So when he was coming here, back to where God had called him to, and the will of God, at the command of God, there was 401 problems that he met with. What a disappointment. And we read later that he got before the Lord. He says, Lord, you told me to come back, to return to my father's home, and you told me you would bless me there. And now this, my brother's coming to kill me. What a disappointment. But remember what God did for him. And all his fear and discouragement and disappointment, he got alone with the Lord. And there that night, we read that he wrestled with the angel of the covenant. He was a mighty man, Jacob. He was a strong man. Remember how the angel said unto him, let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob says, no, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And he was wrestling, and he was holding, and Hosea says he was weeping, that strong man. And God blessed him. It was such a blessing that night, such a disappointment earlier in the day, but he met with the Lord that night. And I tell you, Jacob never was the same after. He was a changed man with a changed work. And when he went out over Peniel, we read that the sun rose upon him. That was something. The sun rose upon him. His disappointment was turned into blessing. And then he lost Joseph. And then he lost Simeon. And he said, all these things are against me. But really, that disappointment was going to turn out to his good. And they come back and they told him, Daddy, Joseph's alive. And he's ruler of all the land of Egypt. He was so disappointed over the losing of his son, but Joseph says, look, you men meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It was the blessing of the disappointment. And they told him Joseph's alive, and he feigned it. He feigned it. Do you know what gave him courage? When he heard the rattle of the chariot wheels coming. Because we read there that when he saw the chariots, that Joseph had sent the chariot that would take him down into Egypt, the chariot with provision along the way, and the chariot that would bring him to his son again, the spirit of Jacob revived. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Do many a time, Joanne, you'll want to hear the chariot wheels of God's blessing coming. So often, I was thinking of this wee text today. So often we're like the mother of Sisera. Do you remember Sisera was defeated in Judges and he ran. And Jael met him and she took him into the tent and she gave him buttermilk to drink. And he fell asleep and she killed him. But his mother was at home and she was expecting this mighty champion to come back again. And she was looking out through her window. And she said this. Why is this chariot so long in coming? And why tarrieth the wheels of his chariot? And sometimes God's people, in their disappointment, we wonder, when is God's chariot coming? That chariot of deliverance. That chariot with sustenance. That chariot that will bring us to the blessing of seeing our loved one again. But you know, God's chariots will come. Don't worry about that. They'll come. And they'll come for each and every one of us if we're disappointed at times. Every day, God's people, and every week, I'm sure there's times when we've got things happen to us and we wonder, why would that happen to me? Why would that happen to me? But it's always for our good. Two on the road to Emmaus. Why is it that you walk and are sad? What's happened to you, men? Are you only a stranger here? Have you not heard what's happened to Jesus of Nazareth? The great disappointment they had. And we thought it would be him that would deliver Israel. And what a Sabbath they spent with him. How to make the Sabbath a delight. To talk with the Lord. To study the scriptures. Because beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then to sit at his table. Because sitting at the table as he broke bread to them, their eyes were opened. And their disappointment that they thought was so bad became a blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Then it says here, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. I'll just say this. I think Psalm 67 is probably the great exposition of that. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Psalm 67 says this, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. What happens when the face of God shines upon us? Well, look what happened there in the next verse. It says that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. When his face shone upon his people here, it was revival. It was revival. Why? That thy way may be known upon all the earth. It was a time when there was missionaries going forth. There was people making known the way of the Lord because he had so blessed them and caused thy face to shine upon us that thy way may be known upon all the earth and thy saving health among all the nations. He had so blessed them that they wanted to go out and spread the word. Oh, for a day in our churches when that happens to us. This is a tremendous night When we have one going forth, brethren, we need a multitude. If you get your hands on the story of the Acme Gospel Mission, get it and read it. There was one small hall up the Shankill Road, and I think if I'm right in saying this, over 20 years, and it would only have been a quarter of the size of this congregation or maybe less, over 20 years in those early days, those 20 missionaries went out from that wee work. And I'll guarantee you, there was none of them died with hunger. God supplied their need. From that small work, and what would it be if the Lord turned his face upon us? Lord, make thy face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And cause thy face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health upon all nations. If God comes in revival and blesses, I pray that we'll live to see it. God has called us to the kingdom for such a day as this. Brethren, let's pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. You know, when William Burns was dying in the mid-1800s in China, he was only there a short time, he said to the Chinese men that were with him, the Christians that he'd seen saved, he said, you know, God will undoubtedly send you a missionary. But William Burns didn't know that God had already too prepared. If you read the story 2 years before this in the Manson and Dromara Presbyterian Church, the Lord had spoken to the Reverend W.J. Patton, you know, author of Pardon and Assurance, as he had family worship to pray for the conversion of the heathen. And he got together with the Reverend S.J. Moore of Ballymena, which is very interesting, and they organized a conference in May Street Presbyterian Church, which was Cook's church. And they called it the Friends of a Mission to China. And later that year, two men, the Reverend Q. Waddell and an elder, Dr. Joe Hunter, left for China in February 1869. William Burns, who was McShane's assistant for some time, William Burns said, God will undoubtedly send you a missionary. We need to know, and Joanne, you need to know daily out there, the Lord making his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. One final thought, and with this I'm finished. It says there, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. It's a great thing to experience the smile of the Lord as we go forth every day to serve him. Whether it's on the farm, in the factory, in the school, in the home, or on the mission field, we need the smile of the Lord. And we haven't that. Remember poor Peter. And when he denied the Lord, the rooster crew, and the Lord turned and looked at him. It wasn't a smile that he got, but it was compassion. What sort of a smile did you get, or a look did I get from the Lord this week? But you know that look, it broke Peter. And we read that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Great thing to have a sensitive heart to our sins, that when we sin, we know what it is to run to the mercy seat and to confess it and to know that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our sins. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Joanne, may you know that every day as you go to labour for him when you're in Kenya, the smile of the Lord upon you, that look of the Lord. And I wonder, McShane said, I saw one hanging on the tree, in agony and blood, who fixed his loving eyes on me, as near his cross I stood. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou mayest live. Sinner in this meeting, have you ever known the Lord look to you? Have you ever looked to him? Because if you do, you'll find peace. You'll find forgiveness. You'll find mercy. We need to go forth with love. Corinthians says, though I had the gift of prophecy and understood all mysteries and knowledge, and though I had all faith that I could remove mountains, I might be a mighty man of faith that I could remove mountains, and have not love, charity, and was nothing. And when we go forth with compassion and love in our hearts, I believe the Lord will have the smile of the Lord upon us and his blessing. May you, Joanne, as you go forth, and may we all live to hear of that day, and I pray for it continually, when Kenya shall stretch out her hands unto the Lord, when Liberia will cry unto the Lord, they'll forget their war and they'll look to Jesus. And someday may we all come with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with us. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.